I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Asperger's syndrome and Aspergians are given a view and a voice in a new book. The author is John Elder Robison, and he joins me from Toronto this morning. His new book is called Be Different, Adventures of a Free-Range Aspergian. In it, he talks about his own experiences, offers advice to those who are essentially different, not disabled, all the while giving the reader a greater understanding of what Asperger's is and its place in the autism spectrum. It's a compelling book, candid and often humorous. John Elder Robison was diagnosed with Asperger's in adulthood. He wrote about it in his previous book, a bestseller, Look Me in the Eye. He blogs for Psychology Today and is an adjunct professor at Elmes College in Massachusetts. His website for more is at johnrobison.com. Be Different is published by Doubleday. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, John Robison. Good morning, Mr. Robison.
Thanks for having me on with you today.
You're very welcome. So the previous book, Look Me in the Eye, I haven't read that book, but I've read this one with great interest. The previous book, was that a surprise to you about how successful that was?
It was a surprise to me how seriously people took it, really. I thought that I was writing an entertaining story of my life, and I thought people would get some insight out of it. But I mostly thought it was just entertaining. I never thought that people would see it as powerful or serious a work as they've said to me. So that was a great surprise to me, yes.
And growing up, did you always write?
No, I didn't. This is my first attempt at writing a book.
Yeah.
I wrote Look Me in the Eye, and then after that book was published, people asked me for more. People said, well, can you explain how you got yourself out of disability? Can you show us how you became successful? Can you explain how you taught yourself to look at other people and to do certain things? And those requests really were the basis of Be Different, which was my second effort at book writing.
You come from a family, though, John, that wrote, right? I mean, your mother writes, your father did, and your brother obviously does, right?
That is correct, yeah.
Yeah. From an early age, you never thought you could write yourself, or you just never did it?
Well, I never had occasion to do it. I wrote technical articles for automobile magazines, and I wrote narratives when we did restoration projects on cars at my automobile business, but I never undertook writing something like this.
And in the process of writing the previous book and obviously this one, do you think you learn anything more about Asperger's? Do you learn anything about yourself, say?
Sure. I think that whenever you explain something to somebody else, you always gain insight into that thing. So if you explain how an anti-lock brake system works to an automobile customer, you're going to get a deeper understanding of that as you explain it. The same is true with explaining Aspergian thought processes, I suppose. It's not so easy to just tell somebody why you feel a certain way or why you do something. It requires some pretty deep thought to figure that out.
So growing up, did you always know you were different?
Yes, different wasn't really the word that I would use for it. I really felt like I was kind of defective. You know, I would see other children have social successes. They would make friends. They would, you know, go places, and I was always an outsider. And what can you think when you see other kids succeed and you fail, except that you're not as good as those kids?
And I guess in when you were growing up, did people know about Asperger's then? I guess not, right?
No, they really didn't. People looked at a kid like me who sounded real good but acted real strange, and they just dismissed me as a bad kid.
So you were diagnosed with Asperger's rather late, 39, I understand, right?
Yes, that is right, yeah.
How did you How did that all come about? Like, did you just decide one day to go in for a test, or did someone say, I think you have the sort of symptoms, or not symptoms, but the sort of traits of someone who's Aspergian?
Well, it was nothing like that. It was actually just a fortunate circumstance. I had left home when I was 16, and I joined a rock and roll band, and ultimately I came to Canada with a lot of bands. I toured up here with April Wine on the First Glance tour, and I actually turned 21 riding a ferry to Newfoundland on another tour, and then I came back here with Kiss when I made their guitars that lit up and shot fire and stuff.
Yeah.
But I did all those things, and yet I thought I was a failure. So I finally started a business fixing automobiles in my driveway. And in the course of running that business, I met a therapist with a Land Rover. And he became friendly with me over a period of a couple of years. And one day, he came in and he said, you know, therapists learn not to diagnose their friends. They won't have any. But he says, this book here describes you to a T. And the book was called Asperger Syndrome. And it was just the most remarkable thing. He was right. The book did describe me to a T.
And so after the diagnosis, you learn about the traits of an Aspergian, and you're able to control them, I guess. Is that correct?
I don't think control is really the word. I think that when you understand what people expect, you can do it. Like, people would say to me all my life, look at me when I talk to you, or look me in the eye.
Yeah.
And I didn't really understand what that meant. With the knowledge of Asperger's, I was able to understand how my behavior was at odds with what people expected. So it's not so much control. You have to understand what's different about you first.
You talk in the book about manners, and I found that interesting, that your grandmother sort of drummed that into you about the importance of minding your manners. And you talk about having the Emily Post Etiquette book, and it reminded me that I inherited my own copy of it from my grandmother. For you, that was useful in understanding what was expected of you and what you did and who you were?
It absolutely was, sure, yes.
Yeah.
You know, for me to really, as I say in my book, a good kid or a nice kid in our society is someone with good manners. It's very hard if you have a difference like Asperger's that causes you to sort of act a little unusual. It's very hard for you to find acceptance if you combine that with bad manners. But good manners really can excuse a lot of eccentricity in your behavior.
And as you grow older, you're no longer different, you're just eccentric, right?
That's right, yeah. You go from being a freak that should be put in a cage to being a lovable, pleasant eccentric. And certainly manners is a big part of that transition, as is age and experience.
There's an interesting story you tell in the book about, it's not really a story, but it's an example you give, of how when you're a kid you want to eat at a certain time, eat certain food at a certain place. And as one gets older, that's seemingly normal now. That's expected almost.
Well, it is. You know, it's funny, if you're a kid and you always want to eat the same meal,
yeah,
people think something's the matter with you. But you go into the same restaurant and you just order the same lunch every day and they just say, oh, yep, he's just a regular guy, you know. And there's nothing funny about it at all. And it sort of shows you that disability is almost a societal construct in some ways for some behaviors.
That's very true, yeah. So take us into the Aspergian brain. How is it, I mean, is it physically different?
No, the differences in people with Asperger's are at a cellular level such that we can't observe them with the tools available to medicine now. So we can't point out what's different, but we know from observation of behaviors that there are differences. The principal difference with Asperger's is autism is a condition where your communication abilities are impaired. Your ability to receive communication from others and your ability to communicate to them. In traditional autism, you have language impairment, understanding speech or speaking. And in Asperger's, you have okay speech, but you have impairment in your ability to sense the unspoken, you know, the nonverbal signals from people, the smiles that say, I like you versus you look like a fool. And that doesn't maybe sound so significant on the face of it, but it's a really big deal because we are social animals, and if we can't figure out the other people, we live in a state of fear and anxiety. We're like a sheep in a pack of wolves.
Growing up, I used to hear that Asperger's and ADD were somehow related. Are they?
Asperger's and ADD have a lot of points of similarity to a neurologist. I don't think the science has fully answered the question yet about whether there's a similar biological pathway into those conditions or not. We don't really know, but it's very common. For example, upwards of 30% of people with an Asperger diagnosis also have an ADHD diagnosis.
And has science answered the question of how autism, how Asperger's happens? Or what causes
all
it?
All we know right now is that there are many different pathways. We believe that you can have a genetic predisposition for autism, and in some cases, your genes will make you have severe autistic disability. Then we have the genetic predisposition and an environmental trigger, perhaps a chemical, could be anything. We haven't identified that yet. We also have found some disease pathways into autism where the mother could contract a disease during pregnancy and that could lead to a child with autism. And then finally, we have essentially a poisoning, a chemical poisoning pathway into autism. So there are a number of pathways in, and it's a very, very complex question to unravel.
I listened to Don Imus, his radio program, and he talks about vaccines. Is that what you're talking about when you say the poisoning pathway?
No, I'm not talking about vaccines at all. I'm talking about differences that there are a number of chemical exposures, all of which are very complex chemicals, not something so simple as just mercury or just lead.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff is really being tested in labs right now. If it were so simple as to say that mercury or lead was poisoning us, I mean, everyone wishes that were the truth, but I'm afraid that it's a much more complicated question. That doesn't mean that you can't get poisoned and damaged severely by those chemicals, but to say that those are a proximate cause of autism is at best an incomplete answer, and at worst, just basically wrong.
Now, this is a great book. Be Different is such a great book because it's something that everyone can relate to, whether you know someone who has Asperger's or not. You can apply sort of the stories that you write about to yourself. Are you surprised at how people who say don't have the experience, the Asperger's experience, that they can relate to this book?
When I wrote Look Me in the Eye, I thought that I was writing a book that showed how people like me think differently from everyone else. But now that it's out there and there's, you know, so many readers talking to me, I now realize that people like me think just the same as you and everyone else in the world. We have the same feelings. The difference is, though, the things that trigger feelings in me may be different, or the feelings I feel when I experience something could be different. You and I could see the very same scene, and it might make you feel sad, and it might make me laugh. And when my response was different from your feeling, it would be tempting for you to think I'm a weirdo or that I don't have normal emotions. But the truth is, if you took a certain situation, like if our fathers died, I'd be sad and you'd be sad. You and I would feel the very same things. But if we saw something, let's say, on a street corner, we might respond very differently. And I guess I hadn't realized how similar people are and how different they are at the same time. That's been the surprise to me.
There's a great chapter in the book about where you discuss dealing with bullies and talking about your experience with that. What do you say in the book and that could teach us about dealing with bullies?
Well, I certainly talk about, first of all, how you can behave in ways that will make you unattractive to a bully. Because I think that bullies in the human world are almost like the animals on the African plain that pick out like the weak or isolated animals in the herd.
Yeah.
And I think that you can act in ways so that you're not picked out. But ultimately, sometimes you have to stand up for yourself. And that's what I did in my stories.
And how has the media done in portraying Asperger's?
Well, the media, you know, the media is showing more and more Asperger characters, like the fellow Sheldon on the Big Bang Theory. There's more and more of that. My only concern with that is that Asperger's is only one point on the autism spectrum. And we have certainly some people with autism who are profoundly disabled. We have other people who are somewhat disabled, and then we have people like me who have emerged from disability. And we just have to be careful not to generalize and look at a person like me and say, well, Robeson is successful and he doesn't need these services, and therefore we don't need to provide any services for any other autistic people either, because that's not accurate. But I think that generally spreading awareness that there are people who have different ways of seeing the world is very valuable.
And the education system, I mean, you're from the United States, is it much better at identifying Asperger's and dealing with people, the children that do have it?
The medical profession is much better at picking up autism and Asperger's. The
right.
ability to diagnose children at an early age is far better than when I was a kid, and schools, both in the United States and Canada, have a tremendously improved ability to accommodate differences. Even though I am not a resident of Canada, I do serve on the science board of Autism Speaks, which has a major presence in autism research here in Canada and in the United States. So I'm pretty familiar with what we're doing there, and I'm really pleased to see that both Canada and the U.S. are making huge strides, both in research into autism and into figuring out ways to help kids like me solve their social problems and how to get over their challenges and fit in and be successful. They're really helping kids emerge from disability.
Now, your son was diagnosed with Asperger's, is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah. What do you learn from your son about Asperger's and yourself even?
Well, the principal thing I've seen is I learn, I guess I get a sense of what I was like all those years ago because I watch him and I realize he's a little version of me. And sometimes it's funny, I think that I was so smart about something 35 years ago when I was his age, and I look at what my son does and I see how he's maybe oblivious to something going on around him. And I think to myself, well, boy, I was probably oblivious in the very same way, and who knows what I missed, you know?
Do you ever wonder what your life would have been without Asperger's?
People ask me that,
yeah.
But, you know, how can I possibly know? People also ask me what it would be like if I'd been diagnosed when I was a kid. And if I was diagnosed as a kid, I probably could have graduated from high school and graduated from college. And I could have sort of done more legitimate and ordinary things. But, you know, I had a pretty interesting life, being out with rock and roll bands and designing video games and trading in Rolls-Royce automobiles. A lot of people dream about doing that, and they don't have any disability at all. So I think I've come out okay.
And that's your day job, I guess, is the automobile stuff, right?
Yep, that's right. Yep,
yeah.
Robeson Service, yeah.
Will you continue to write?
I will, yes. I'm actually writing a book right now about parenting and raising my son. It's called Raising Cubby. So for people who wonder what it's like to raise a kid with Asperger's, they can look for my story on that sometime late next year.
Well, we'll look forward to that book, and in the meantime, I'll pick up the first book because I just really enjoyed this one. Good luck with it. I hope it sells well.
Well, thank you for having me on with you.
You're very
welcome. Talking about it.
You're very welcome. It's been great talking to you today. The website for more is johnrobison.com. The book is called Be Different, Adventures of a Free-Range Aspergian. It's published by Doubleday. It's author John Robison on the line from Toronto this day. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.